Okay, everybody. Well, this is the Monday mixed addictions meeting. Stacy's going to share her experience, strength, and hope on working with others. Go ahead, Stacy.
Good morning, family. I am Stacy. I am a multi-talented addict. I was granted sobriety when I was 21. Got a DUI the first night of my legal drinking on my 18th birthday, I think it was. Driving home in a blackout after I promised my friend she could keep my keys and I made her give them back to me. I found the program through an intervention, which I always forget because I'm like, I love AA, I love OA. And it's so funny, the forgetter. And I have a, as many of us do, a very interesting family, just again, multi-talented, all flavors of addicts, and also happened to be, become international drug smugglers and involved me as a decoy from the age of 8 until 21, when I took large amounts of money internationally in a bodysuit with my sister. And so there's, and again, it ended in a international interdiction in Vancouver, BC, 1987, 32 tons of marijuana. So yeah, we all have these stories, weird stories. And that family asked me when I was 21, in the midst of this final huge shipment, to fly to San Francisco and help my little cousin, because I'm a helper. I am a helper extraordinaire. I am sort of the extra wife. Nothing sexual that way, but just the confidant and close daughter to my dad, and a very who comes from addiction, alcoholic father, grossly obese, Al-Anon OA mother, and just black belt Al-Anon, untreated Al-Anon. And so I went to San Francisco because my cousin. I also think I'm very special. Had a very big ego and low self-esteem to help my cousin who was like his third overdose. The priest had read him his last rites. He was 18, I was 21, and they asked me to come help get him back into treatment. And long story short was we did this in I told him how it hurt me and what, which he agreed to go back to treatment, and I went to brush my teeth, and my sister, my mom, and my dad were still on the bed, and then they proceeded to give me an intervention, which I haven't been shocked that many times in my life. But I was like, "What are these people talking about?" Very, very enmeshed. We had a family secret. We were special. We did these things my whole life. And the first thing I thought was my toothbrush, and I'm looking at them. And my reaction was, "You're dead to me, obviously. That's it. I don't know what you're talking about." I later found program, and a few months later, when I was 21, July 18th, 1987, but I went to Seattle to get into treatment from my eating disorder, which was I had been overeating and chubby and turned to bulimia when I was 17. My bulimia off and on lasted until I was 49. So I was how many years in program? 1987 to from 21 to 49. I found BBA because my lovely sponsor, Sandy, I don't know if it's illegal to say, but I'll never forget. We were in some different meetings together, and I got to that place. It's one of those things because I do want to talk about working with others. I got to try to get to that. Is when people talk about who should I have sponsor me, and we get into these places. I mean, I did for sure, and I've heard many people kind of this whole intellectual exercise. Well, I'm older than her. She's younger than me. I have kids. They're politic, whatever it is. And I have learned through the school of hard knocks, which we most likely all come from, when I'm hopeless, which is one of the two requirements for me in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, is I gotta be hopeless. And one day I was hopeless, and I had relapsed on sugar, I think. And I just was like, I had hurt my friend, and I just didn't, she wasn't very crazy or exciting or whatever, like she wasn't crazy like me, but I just walked over to this woman I had always seen and never occurred. I'm like, God, will you help me? And she said yes. And then she had the audacity that was OA at Al-Anon, like 2 days later, to come up to me and ask me if I was done with sugar. And I thought two things, like, hell no. And also, this is Al-Anon, so what are you at, And I didn't have sugar. Well, wait, I did. I had Easter sugar. I'm a handful. I did try not to have sugar. And I like that. I like it's just not that complicated when I'm hopeless. I mean, it is and it isn't. And I love the old timers in the program that will say, when I am ready, Mickey Mouse could help me have a spiritual experience. Or another one, Bill W. is not coming back to life. Just ask someone. And personally, what I have learned, I didn't ask my sponsor, but if what I tell sponsees and what I have learned, if I had one question, I would ask, have you made all your amends? And I would, whoever raised their hand for that, which it's not going to be a lot of people in BBA, it's going to be a lot of people, but that's who I would ask, because that's where the huge change happened for me. I'm a really good, as you can imagine, born liar, lying to authorities, lying through life, lying's about my feelings so much. I never knew what I felt. There's a word for it. There's some kind of word for people that don't know what they feel. I think it's a pretty common in here. Working with others and discovering that I had all these false gods. A big one was family, dad, sister. When they intervened on me, that started to fall apart. I didn't connect things that were happening that were bad and scary. There were many scary moments in my life with federales with guns and being taken off an airplane and things. But I just always, like we can with food or alcohol or whatever, shopping, whatever the addictions are, I can rationalize that. It was never my family's fault. They love me. That was never. So these false gods that just tore me down to nothingness. Well, not even nothingness would probably be good. Tore me down to just self-hate, Not that little chubby girl that came out, that born child. And one of the things I have, anything I've learned has been experience. And I remember being told, and I won't out people, but the thing about BBA, one of the first things I learned, and I really, in the beginning, I really, it was new because I had been in 12 steps, which I adore, which I go to almost every day. OA secretary, I have business position, I have positions. So OA a few days a week, and this is my BBA. And on Friday, I will still go to the workshop because I just go and listen and I have spiritual experience. And then I took people through at one point with another person, which my sponsor said, as soon as when you sponsor in BBA or take people through a workshop, boy, howdy, do you really get it then? More. We never get it. What was I going to say? Oh, so in the beginning, the idea, part of what was exceptional a new piece, a new beautiful layering, leveling up, but not separate from or better than the 12 steps was, I was to have an experience, not a story, not a lesson, not a teaching, but an experience. And it was told to me, which I've never forgotten. And I like to shock my sponsees sometimes. I was told, the example was, it's like if someone told you about an orgasm as opposed to having one. And I was like, oh God, did she just say that? It's an experience, whatever it is. Or gosh, I have two kids, having the one that was too fast, I couldn't get an epidural. That was an experience. And there's something about BBA, boy, really being held in the community and really walked through. And what the essence of what I think the book at its best was always telling me is that they're gonna give me a precise way, that this is a text, which means I need a, I'm a pupil and people are gonna take me through and I won't do it alone. And that I have to be hopeless. Two things, and I don't know what page it's on, but it says I have to be hopeless and sold on these ideas, which the ideas being the steps. And all of it is to bring me to my own personal higher power, whatever that is, which is not my dad, which is not my mom, which is not my husband or my kids now, which is not food, which is not a banging body, which is not my degree, all the things. What it is, and if I jump ahead, you know, I'm celebrating 39 years of, I got to OA, it was a little earlier in 87 when my treatment program fell through and I found my first OA meeting in Seattle. And it's really great that the treatment fell through because I had had a lot of rescuing up until that intervention, which was just a shock. I've had a lot of rescuing. And it was really great for me that it was me and you guys, me and the people in the rooms, me and the women in the rooms, that really got, that just really got it. I've also found over the years, I need to identify, I love that this is all addictions, and I'm often in OA or BBA, and someone just sent me in BBA, some beautiful soul just forwarded this gal who's a little older than me and has about 4 weeks not purging, has had like 48 years of purging. I need to, again, I don't need Bill W and I don't need, you know, someone can take me through the steps, but I need to identify. And so a lot of times, you know, we try to do one program sometimes. And it's like, well, if that works for you, great. Then to me, it's like, well, you're just like a mini Al-Anon. Like I did go to Sex and Love Addicts like twice and it was very helpful. And I went to DA with a friend like twice and it was very helpful. They weren't my, you know, they weren't holding me hostage. They weren't a false god. But I identify with my food, with the food addiction, specifically sugar and bulimia. And alcohol, yeah. I don't go to that many meetings. Every Sunday, my AA meeting, it's purely 11 step, very specific speaker meditation shares, because I don't really remember wanting to go back to it because I had really handy sugar. You know, my hands by my face, I don't want to gross anyone out, but recently someone, a speaker shared, or just a gal, a new gal, shared something. It came up, someone talked about sucking their thumb in a BBA or OA, and this new person said, I still suck my thumb, which I was really proud of them. And I have a sponsee that confessed to me after I said, oh, I suck my thumb till I was 18 or 17. I share that because it turns out sometimes if that's a secret anyone has here, it just reminds me how powerless I was. Like my family tried everything, poison and practically, oh, I know this really cute speaker shared how her dad taped her hands, for a whole ride, like a cross-country trip when she was little, and she couldn't suck her thumb. It was like, nah. And when she got home, she never did again. She just, and so I shared about that. And then the gal said, so after so many years in program, I realized, oh, I stopped sucking my thumb right when I started purging. I just switched one. And so why I bring that up is because when the alcohol went away, the food was already my favorite. I was a blackout drinker from 12, but I had that. So I don't even know what I'm sharing about. If I want to jump forward
Excuse
into.
me, Stacy, you have 5 more minutes.
Okay, good. Well, I want to share. I want to don't want to share because I love that my dark past will be if I get it right, I used to say my dark past will be my greatest asset. And then I was looking at it or reread it, whatever, in the last couple of years. But it says more. It's my greatest asset to help, basically, to help others find freedom. So, I mean, there it could be the weird thing about the sucking your thumb. I mean, that gives me more freedom. Like, holy cow, I needed something extra from, out the door, whatever. And so my most recent dark asset, but I truly is I was in relapse with sugar. I had 8 years from when my lovely latest sponsor. I had never been able to get. I had it maybe a year, 6 months for. I won't do the math because it'll take a while. Like over 31 years, and I didn't just kind of go to program. I went to 5 to 7 meetings for 39 years, different countries, through graduate school, whatever. I loved it. I wanted it, and I will also say, without a doubt, my first meeting. In a lobby in Seattle, Washington, my life got better, my life changed, and it became more and more and more and more, and then a little bit more and a little bit more wonderful every month, every year. And it didn't matter what I weighed, it didn't matter if I relapsed, it mattered that I was having spiritual experiences leading to a spiritual awakening from the first meeting. And it is not about for me, which is part of my dark past, right? I can say I stayed through so much relapse and I got to learn over and over and over that this is a disease. So, yeah, I had 8 years off to sugar. I think I was about 2 weeks shy. And I did relapse the beginning of January. And I did have a really, really hard thing with my daughter. She's been in treatment 4 months. She's 25 and she leaves Friday. And when she called me January 1, I thought she was going to die or kill herself, and she came home, and it was like a child on the breast, and it wasn't just that. For whatever reason, it's another piece of my story. I shared right away. I want to say within 3 days at my home group, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I'm eating sugar, and I've had friends in program have some, which has been troublesome. It was a little bit in my head because they would just have like some. And that was their slip or whatever. I needed to be reminded the way I do sugar is absolutely the way I did alcohol. I was at this U Village down the street here with a car full of food, trying to figure out how am I not going to purge because I was eating everything in sight. There was no some, there was no a couple. And I got on that train. By the grace of God, I wasn't ashamed. I told my husband. I told my sponsor, I went to meetings and I shared about it. That's why I also say my whole life gets to change right away because I have a disease. And I think it's 2 months abstinent again. And it's one of those things, if you ever have relapsed, or I remember thinking different times I'd have a year off of bulimia, so I have 10 years from bulimia. Who's that person? God, that was. Oh, that was crazy. I tell you what, if you start again, it's the same. It's like you're thrown in time. I don't know, like those movies where you're thrown back in time, It's like it's absolutely the same, and it's scary as heck. So I have a new when I first shared it on my home group, And people like me, gosh darn it, because I have 39 years of program. I was so shy. My mom wanted me to go to therapy. Also, I pooped in the tub. And if you knew my parents and how crazy they were, that was a big thing that my shyness was. You guys made me, I don't stop talking very often. I dance in a CVS aisle. I dance everywhere. I wear really bright clothes and crazy things from Goodwill. I'm so happy and so me because of you guys. I'm a whole different person, which what I wanted to say before, I don't know if I said it. I have learned this program is not about becoming well and becoming better. It's about becoming that fat little kid you always were that just likes whoever you are, whatever flavor you are. So it's just the undoing. It's not like trying to be something else.
That's time.
That's time. And I wanted to close with when I shared about my relapse after a lot of years, and people maybe start to look up to you or whatever, start to like you. People came out of the woodwork to say they had slipped too. That is how it works. That is how it works for me. So I felt better, they felt better, and we just carry on together and keep having that relationship with our new higher power. So I guess I had stuff to say today. Thanks for letting me share.
Stacey, thank you so much. Thanks for stepping up and giving us a lot to talk about, to share about now. Okay, our sharing time is split into two parts. To keep our meeting focused on spiritual recovery through using the Big Book Awakening approach, first we'll start our general sharing with anyone who is currently sober or abstinent from their physical craving and has worked the Big Book Awakening process with a Big Book Awakening guide or sponsor using the BBA workbook up to this step or topic. Please stay on topic. If you're a newcomer or have not done the step work related to this topic or step as done through the Big Book Awakening using the BBA workbook, there will be time reserved for you later in the crossfire portion of the meeting. I will indicate when it's time for the second part of the sharing. The topic for tonight's meeting is working with others. Please limit your share to under 3 minutes. Meg's our timer tonight and wrap up your share when she indicates the time is up. There's also a little timer on the screen if that works for if you can see it. Those who have experience in the Big Book Awakening process and are sober abstinent, who'd like to start the sharing? And you just
Sandy,
have
you
to
need to
un
stop the recording. Oh, okay.
Oh,
Yeah, okay. It's
thank
stopped now.
you.
Yeah.